Welcome to the SB Live California podcast. Connor Morissette here with Lance Smith and Bodie Da Silva. We got to a lot of great statewide games over this past weekend. Bodie saw Corona Centennial perform very well against Cathedral Catholic. Lance saw a couple of good games. I was down in Texas for the modern day, big win against Duncanville. I want to get to takeaways from all these games, talk about where we're going to be this week, and then maybe put a bow on the state championship discussion that we had the week prior. So just very quickly before we get into things here, I wanted to make an opening point. In the southern section, I think so far it just looks like Modern Day, St. John Bosco, Servite, Corona Centennial, and Norco, who I think is a surprise out of that group, are just the clear D1 teams, and they're going to be eight, so that's five. And I think Sierra Canyon and Los Alamitos will also be there, but I think Sierra Canyon and Los Alamitos, they have some room to improve. They've had some games where they haven't been as good as I expected them to be, so I'm going to get into that a little bit. But first, let's get to you guys. So, Lance, how are you doing? You got to, I think, two games last weekend, right? And it was Servite demolishing Mission Viejo, and then you saw Rancho Cucamonga with their new coach beat Apple Valley. So, how are you? And let's start with that Servite Mission Viejo game.
Sure. Well, I'm good. We're finally at that point of football season where it's rolling. Like, every week carries more significance. Teams are already in week two, looking a little bit more in peak shape. It's just more football vibes than even just a couple weeks ago. It's exciting. So Servite 44, Mission Viejo 7. I think Mission Viejo seemed pretty shocked. I don't think anyone else was too shocked. And that's not a knock on Mission Viejo. That's just where Servite's at right now. And we know this is kind of a younger year for Mission Viejo, as was last year. And, you know, a lot of room to improve. I thought it could have been more competitive. Mission Viejo's defense looked very good because Servite had the ball for a lot of the time. And we know what they can do to elite defenses. I don't think 44 points given that is even that bad. So that's a positive takeaway right there. But it was definitely, like you said, a good barometer for both squads. And, of course, we got to see some flashy passing game highlights from Servite, which is, one of the main attractions, as always. So that was fun, too.
I agree with you. I think that game said more about Servite than Mission Viejo. Mission Viejo will be a good team, either in that Division II or Division III range. And I got to give their coach, Chad Johnson, a lot of credit because in past seasons, Mission Viejo has rolled through their non-league schedule and hasn't prepared them well for that league that they're in with San Clemente winning two out of the last 3 years. So he said, this year, we're young, but I don't care. We're going to play the best of the best to prepare us to win our league because that's what we care about, and then go into the playoffs and try to win a championship. I think Servite winning by that margin was almost expected, and I think it's a good sign that you mentioned the Mission Viejo defense performing well because that was a wild card with them. They only returned one starter. So I think this is the kind of situation where Chad Johnson and Mission Viejo, they know they're probably not a D1 team this year, and they're going to struggle in the non-league. I think this Long Beach Poly game will be a good barometer this week, but they're scheduling up, so to speak, and it's going to prepare them for a league championship run and then a good playoff run. So I like what he's doing there, and we'll see how Servite compares to Modern Day and St. John Bosco, because it looks like, at least through a couple games, they may not be at that upper level, but they're as close as they have been in recent years, so that's cool. And Lance, you also got to see at Rancho Cucamonga against Apple Valley, and Rancho Cucamonga with a new coach picks up a big win. Apple Valley, they're kind of like Mission Viejo, scheduling some very hard teams, and it'll help them in the long run. But I think it was surprising that Rancho Cucamonga pulled off that win. At least I was a little bit surprised.
I was a little bit surprised, too. And after the first 10 minutes or so, maybe even less than that, I think it was about 6 or 7, where they were down 13-0, Rancho was, and they just looked dead in the water. I was getting ready for a blowout that would be over in 3 quarters. And Rancho just turned it around. It was their first game, so they had to get some of the jitters and rust off. And they're very young. Almost their whole team is sophomore and juniors. sophomores and juniors. I saw them at Battle of the Beach at Edison, and I don't know if they won too many of their games, but they were very competitive and just feisty, you know, working hard as a unit. There was just a good energy there. So I was very intrigued by them, even though I couldn't name, I think, one player on their team coming into the season. And yeah, they showed out. Everyone knows they're going to be fast pretty much every year. But it turns out they got some studs on that team, and most of them are non-seniors. So Xavier Washington is their quarterback, a great dual threat guy, massive breakout game for him, and Isaiah Lopez and Jonah Dawson, both of them are receivers, and Julian Lundy, I can't remember which, I'm sorry, but he's a long, athletic receiver, had two touchdown catches. I was so impressed with them, both individually. I think they could all become big college guys. And then also defensive back, kind of the rover, Christian Pierce. They're all juniors except for Lopez. And Dawson's a sophomore. So they are building something in Rancho.
And you love those surprises early in the year. So they're certainly on our radar now. I put them in our Southern Section rankings, I think at either 24 or 25 now. Credit to them for picking up a big win with a new coach. And Lance, I thought your coverage was great. Really good story. And it's so rare to see a team start so slow and then just kind of snap of the finger, turn it around. So I think that you got to give the coach a lot of credit there. So we'll see.
Brian Hildebrand.
Yes.
1-0 with Rancho Cucamonga after that turnaround. So let's see how long they can keep that streak going.
For sure. And I mean, they look like a Division II playoff team. So we'll see how they're able to do it in that division. If they can keep racking up wins, they played Norco, which will be a tough test in a couple weeks. So that's a very big game. Bodie, let's go to you now. Sorry to exclude you for that first bit. So you went to Corona Centennial where they beat Cathedral Catholic 57-14. And I'd like to hear just your breakdown of what worked so well for Centennial and what you think is wrong with Cathedral Catholic. So we'll start with Corona Centennial. You mentioned off the air their two quarterback system worked nicely and they're young and that they have some good receivers, but I think they blew me away with that result. I think it sounded like they blew you away too.
Yeah, both are junior quarterbacks, and I think their differing styles really play well off each other. Izzy Carter is, like their coach said, just an extra running back. Back there, just such a talented runner, and when the ball's in his hands, just so difficult to corral and bring down. And then on the other end, Carson Conklin threw the ball well. He did probably made two mistakes, balls he shouldn't have thrown that ended up in interceptions, but they were up. He was taking some chances. The biggest thing to me was Centennial won the toss. They wanted to receive. I think it'd make a statement. They went four plays, 80 yards in the first minute, did just that and scored. Cathedral fumbled on their first snap, and Centennial responded with a 32-yard touchdown. So 65 seconds in, two touchdown lead. And then after Cathedral eventually hit a field goal, but then it's, 20-0, and then 27-14, I think, at halftime. And thought maybe Cathedral's still in it. They're going to receive. And Centennial shut them out in the second half and really ran away. It was 30-0 there in the second half. So really, to me, just so impressive on Centennial's side. I thought Cathedral would have a big advantage with their experienced offensive line. And Centennial was able to neutralize that. And there's really only one senior up front for Centennial. And so many juniors really on both sides that just made a huge impact. So not just a team that will make noise this year, but I think a team to really watch for next year, especially as long as they can keep the two quarterbacks there and both in a system where they're happy with the amount of time that they're playing.
Izzy Carter offered by Oregon this morning after a big game. Mm-hmm. So that was certainly proof in the pudding of what you're saying, that that he has been playing great. And I thought he had a good spring, too. I remember watching their game against Norco. They lost, but I thought he played well, and that's when they were rotating three quarterbacks, so it was tough for him to get into a rhythm. On the Cathedral Catholic end, we weren't the only ones to rank them very highly nationally to begin the year. Other outlets had them in their top 30. We had them at 24, and the Torrey Pines game, they won 28-14, but they had five turnovers, I think. It sounds like turnovers were an issue again in this Centennial game. You still have them as number one in San Diego, so they are still very good. But what's been going wrong for them so far, and what do they need to do to fix it and show that they are a number one team in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, it just seems like something's not clicking. And it's weird because especially offensively, they return so many experienced guys and playmakers, quarterback, two running backs, excellent receiver, their whole entire offensive line. So that that just tells me that something is not clicking so far. I mean, they did win the Torrey Pines game, but I don't think at the margin they would have expected. And then against Centennial, it just seemed like they were really in shock early on. So that doesn't surprise me when you go down that you're not able to make that big comeback. But to reach where they've wanted to be and kind of expected to be, they've got to turn things around and do it quick, because they're going to play a Chaminade team this weekend that, yeah, we had them higher ranked to start, but maybe at this point there's not too much of a gap between those two anymore. And they'll have 1 week to play a San Diego team in Helix who started outside the top 10. Now they're right in it at number six. And then they got to go to De La Salle. So it really doesn't get easier. This week I kept them at number one. Having seen that game in person, it was more just credit to Centennial, because you could have thrown any of San Diego's top five teams up there this week, and I have a hard time believing that any of them would have scored maybe even a touchdown, let alone two touchdowns. You lose by 43, but it wasn't about that to me. Intel Cathedral shows that they're beatable against a San Diego section team. I can't take away from them going and scheduling really tough opponents that maybe in this case just happen to be way better than them this year.
Looking at some other San Diego results, I mentioned Los Alamitos off the top as being a Division I team who I want to see more of. Winning 21-17 against Lincoln, I thought, you know, nice win for Los Alamitos, but I thought that said more about Lincoln and the fact that they're really stuck with one of the best offenses in the state and had a chance to come back and almost win the game at the end there. And I didn't get to watch too much of it. I caught a little on TV, but I think Malachi Nelson, the quarterback who we've gushed on and on about and who has been really good, they were able to limit him. And even Greg Biggins in his 247 Sports write-up said, Malachi will tell you this wasn't his best game. So that really impressed me. I know Lincoln has two great players in the secondary. Do you think that game shows that they can compete in the San Diego Open Division, Bodie, or is that still a little far away for them?
Yeah, I think they're a team that's definitely in the mix. I mean, at this point, I think there's a solid four, which that's what the Open Division is now at. And so that would be Cathedral, Mission Hills, Carlsbad, and Lincoln, which happened to they'll face off because those are two leagues represented there. So Lincoln was impressive. I was able to get back after covering Centennial and watch the fourth quarter of that game on TV. And I think Lincoln has added a big element this year in running back Roderick Robinson. It's just a beast that really is hard to bring down. I know they missed out on a fourth down attempt there that they were on their way to try and score and take the lead against Los Al, but definitely an impressive result for them overall. Their transfer quarterback, Jalen Daniels, has looked good. And you talked about the two playmakers, Jaleel Tucker and Jaleel Florence, which make up probably as good a cornerback duo as there is maybe in the whole country, the two Oregon commits there. So Lincoln's been impressive. And as they go along, I certainly have that game circled against Cathedral later on in the year. But as for this week, it's potentially an Open Division playoff matchup, because they'll be bringing in Mission Hills, and those two squared off in playoffs 2 years ago, and that's the one I will be at on Friday. So really excited to see what I think should be a really evenly matched game.
Great. I'll be excited to check out your coverage of that one, because I agree. I think that'll go a long way in helping me determine state rankings and help you with San Diego rankings. So I was impressed with Lincoln, but Los Alamitos, and next year they'll be great too, because a lot of their great players are juniors. But I expected them to be right in the mix with some of these Division I teams, and maybe they're a year away, or maybe they don't have the trench play that you need to compete with some of those big boys. So that was just something that caught my attention. And then Sierra Canyon, their two games, they'll definitely be a Division I team too. They have Corona Centennial this week, so I'll be there. That's going to be a crazy game. But only beating Oaks 20-9, Oaks Christian, that didn't really do anything for me. And I know they threw four interceptions in that game. So you look at Chaminade. Chaminade beat up Oaks Christian, albeit Oaks Christian had their backup quarterback that game, but they played the same secondary, and Chaminade was able to do whatever they wanted on offense. So I think in a few weeks here, Canyon's offense will click into gear, and then their defense is solid. They've only given up 9 and then 14 to Jay Serra. But remember, they started a little slow against Jay Serra too, so I want to see a little bit more from that team before I automatically crown them in Division One. But if I was a betting man right now, I'd certainly have them in. But wanted to make that point off the top, and then quickly getting to the modern-day Duncanville game. I know a lot's been said, written, and watched about that. But 45-3, very impressive. I think one of the biggest takeaways was Duncanville has a four-star defensive lineman, number 18 in the nation, according to 247sports.com. And modern-day sophomore lineman DeAndre Carter just won that battle. And this is an unheralded sophomore offensive lineman who will no longer be unheralded. But the big matchup in that game was, what will Amari Abor do to disrupt modern-day's offense? And when he started to do things, it was the third quarter and the game was over. So I thought modern day, the big question was with them, and you know, it's never a huge question with the Monarchs, but Bruce Rawlinson told me, my offensive line's a wild card. The offensive line looked amazing. Dominant everywhere. Elijah Brown looked great at quarterback, and he just doesn't make mistakes, which is so important. And then, so why did we flip modern day and St. John Bosco? I think coming out of the gate, modern day just has looked better. And then Bosco, Lance, we talked about this a year ago. Not having that big receiver, I think, might hurt them again. And Logan Boer had 5 catches for 130 yards and a touchdown against Alamany. But I'm nervous for when St. John Bosco goes up against a Servite or a modern day. Do they have that big play in the passing game necessary to break a game open like C.J. Williams at modern day and T-Mac at Servite? That was an issue for them in the spring, and that's part of why I bumped modern day up to 1 and put St. John Bosco at 2. I think both defenses have looked great, but St. John Bosco's offense hasn't been as good as it should be so far, and I think that's a fair assessment.
That's a very fair assessment. And in the first game, it was Cheat on James being the number one receiver, and he's another receiver, both him and Logan Boer. I think they're both great receivers. Like you said, neither of them are that downfield guy. And you can look at Bosco and say, well, holy cow, they have so much offensive talent, which they do. And they're undoubtedly one of the best offenses in the country. But there's something in terms of the energetic flow of the game where if you don't have that downfield guy, it's like you can start to deteriorate for reasons that aren't X's and O's, just more of a mental thing. Like we make one mistake on defense. Now it's going to take a 6-minute drive, even if we have the guys for that 6-minute drive, to get it back. And that's tough. That's just tough mentally. And then guys make more mistakes. So I'm with it. I thought that was a great defensive showing by Alamany. Holy cow! If they were that good defensively a year or two ago, they would have had some very different years. Even though they've been good defensively, but that's just next level defensive showing from them. We look at 2019 Bosco, right out of the gate, the numbers they were putting up on top 20, top 25 teams in the country. And you're right, the offense is not at that level right now. And there's questions about the questions about what will it take to get them there are very valid.
Yeah, and I thought Caden Hauser didn't play very well in that first game against Miami Central. And then he comes out and plays much better against Alamany. And it was Pierce Clarkson who didn't have as good of a game. So I know those two guys are good, and they haven't really been able, one hasn't been able to separate from the other. But going back to last year after that St. John Bosco modern day game, I just remember writing, would it be better if they just went with one and stuck with it, because that might give them a better chance to win. So that's something I'm watching as well. I just wanted to... You can't really talk modern day without talking St. John Bosco, so I wanted to get some of those thoughts in. But modern day, it really couldn't have looked much more impressive than they did against Duncanville in Texas. Unless you have any other thoughts, Lance, do you want to move on to games you'll be at this week?
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head.
Where will you be? You got an Orange County game, right?
two of them, which is nice because I love my short drives when possible. So I'm going to be in Yorba Linda for Orange at Yorba Linda. I was at that game 2 years ago to the week, and it was the first time in my reporting career that I was at a real thrilling game. So I'll always remember that one. Orange was getting beaten up pretty good. They were down, I think, 28-7 in the fourth quarter. Couldn't get anything going offensively. And then they put up three touchdowns in, I think, 90 seconds. And Yorba Linda wins in double OT. But that was great. So I'm excited for that. I don't know much about Yorba Linda, but they're off to a good start. And Rain Beal, if I'm saying that right, has been really good under center through two games. Breakout guy. With Orange, they always have athletes. I'm excited to see Aaron, a.k.a. Jet White, one of the top freshmen, by some rankings, the top freshman cornerback in the country. Already has four offers, including multiple Power Five. And then another underclassman who does a number of things for Orange, Kobe Boykin. And he has five offers, multiple Power Five. So I'm really excited to see that. I think it should be relatively evenly matched. But I don't know exactly what to expect. And then on Friday, I'm going to Edison versus Orange Lutheran. That's another one. That's a rematch of an early 2019 game where Olu won 17-14. And that's another one where I think you could go either way. Both of those teams aren't really defined by one guy. They have guys across the board. Nice mix of seniors and then young guys with some upside. And, of course, I'm excited to see Nico Brown for Edison. So he's one of the better and most underrated playmakers out there, I would say. He can run the ball and catch the ball, can be full-time receiver, full-time running back, anything in between. So I'm excited to see that one, and should be a good weekend.
Thank you, Lance. Bodie, can we get a Mission Hills-Lincoln prediction, just game breakdown? How do you see that one going?
Yeah, I have to give Lincoln the edge with them having the home game here, like they had against Mission Hills 2 years ago in the Division I semifinals. But I think from that point of view, there are some Mission Hills guys that were still on that team and frankly didn't play all that well in that game. So I think they'll be out for some revenge, absolutely. And they've been impressive, started with two out-of-section opponents. They just beat up on Palos Verdes last week, a game they were down 7-0 early, then scored 42 straight unanswered. So they've got a really experienced quarterback in Gunnar Hensley, a guy who really had a great spring season. His top target, Matt Martin, looked great too. So that'll be a great matchup with him going against the Lincoln corners, Jaleel Tucker and Jaleel Florence. The way Lincoln played against Los Alamitos would lead me to believe that they've got the advantage here, but Mission Hills is always extremely ready for all the games, well-coached, and I think this will be a really good matchup. And then early on, a couple hours before that, I'll be stopping by the Honor Bowl. Got a out-of-section game for myself, Oaks Christian against Valor Christian from Denver. And Valor Christian's always been a great program these last few years. And just looking through this year's roster, they have their star running back, Gavin Sawchuk, a top 50 recruit running back headed to Oklahoma. And then his younger brother, Gabe, who's a sophomore, but already has USC and Arizona State offers. So looks like Valor's loaded once again, and we'll be interested to see two teams from out of my section. You guys know Oaks Christian, and certainly there's some talent on that team as well. So I will see that on Friday before I head down to Lincoln.
Oaks Christian, I think they might lose that game, and then they play Alamany next. They could be looking at an 0-4 start, which for them is bad. Not usually how it goes. For me, on Friday, Mission Viejo against Long Beach Poly. When you guys were talking, I'm trying to think, how do I think this game's going to go? And to answer that question, I'm really not sure, because Poly lost to Sarah in their first game. Mission Viejo was very close with Apple Valley in their first game before beating them, and then obviously lost big, like we talked about, to Servite the week prior. I think these teams on paper are pretty even. So I don't exactly know how that one's going to go. I think Long Beach Poly has more depth, which will help them and kind of makes me want to pick them. But I know at quarterback, too, they're playing two guys, and we've talked about how we don't love that situation. So we'll see. I don't know if you guys saw what happened with Long Beach Poly. They scored a miracle touchdown to almost tie the game to be down one. And then, of course, they had a million people run on the field, 15-yard penalty, extra point Ben was no good, so they lost like
just
that.
Just brutal.
Yeah. And you feel bad for – I feel bad for Stephen Barbie and the staff there because he had some members of his team who ran on the field, so clearly that was a mistake. But then I guess the reports were there were just a bunch of random adults too. So, like, it's one thing to be like, hey, team, like, you know, control ourselves, but it's another thing when – how can you just control the adults there? So we'll see how they bounce back against Mission Viejo. Two teams pretty desperate for a win, so I'm excited for that. And then Corona Centennial, Sierra Canyon, down at that Honor Bowl. Just based on how Centennial's been playing and how Sierra Canyon has had some offensive struggles, I look at Corona Centennial as the team to beat in that game, or as the winning team in that game. I like the Huskies there. But two great games and another great weekend of high school football, so we'll have a lot of great coverage, and I know across the country every state now is kicking off, so all of our properties from every state that we're in will really be getting going. I know the guys in Washington for us are really excited to get started, so that's great. Lance and Bowie, let's finish today with this. We talked about state champions a week ago, and it's so hard projecting right now, but one game that made me think, oh, maybe this team has a chance to be a state champion is St. Bonaventure giving Oxnard Pacifica in the Southern Section their worst loss in the program history. They won 70-7. So St. Bonaventure, who knows what division they'll be in the Southern Section, but they're a team clearly to watch after that win. Bodie, you mentioned Modern Day Catholic in the past as a team who would have a shot. Since we've last spoken, has anyone else emerged and impressed you to the point where you want to say they have a shot at a state title, or too early?
Yeah, it's tough division-wise. La Jolla Country Days looked really good in Division Four. They had a last-minute cancellation week one, went up and played Temescal Canyon, which is a much bigger school than them, battled it down, ended up losing by a touchdown. So I think that's a team to keep an eye on. Modern Day Catholic is loaded. They have four Power Five recruits. Unfortunately, their game was canceled for this week, and they have the bye the next week, so they're kind of scrambling to figure out what that situation will be, because the first 2 weeks they beat up on their opponents 53 points in each game. So
why don't they come up and play Modern Day Santa Ana?
Then get people really confused there.
Go ahead.
But yeah, no, it's a tough situation for them, and we'll see as the season goes on. Hopefully they're able to replace some of those games. But yeah, at this point in the season, I still want to see some of these teams in non-Division One kind of make a difference in see if they can separate from the pack at all, because looking just across Division II, Division III, Division IV, there's some teams that I definitely think maybe are favorites in the section, but beyond that, I'm not sure at this point if they're really one of the favorites to make a state run at it. So,
Lance, how about you?
Well, for me, the way I look at it, given that we already talked about the open division picture, is which teams are the most dangerous in non-Division I? For whatever section they're in. So the Southern Section going to the new playoff format means, you know, there's going to be fewer teams like you had in 2019, like the El Montes in Division 12 or the Pacifica Oxnards in Division 6 being that low because, you know, they're going to be voted up to Division 3, Division 4 and what have you. So I think the Central Section and the Southern Section going to that format is a huge game changer for the whole state championship landscape. And that's something we can discuss when the playoffs are a little closer. One of the teams screaming high on my radar for state championship is Rockland. They're arguably a top 15 team in the state right now. They're Division II in the San Joaquin section, Sac Joaquin section. So if they come out of Division II and then say go into the 2AA state bracket, I think that could be a super dominant state run. Escalon is always in Division 6, terrifying in the Sac Joaquin section. Same to be said this year for Kimball and Oakdale and potentially Vanden in Division 4. Those are some teams. I think the Sac Joaquin section is really well positioned to have some of their lower division teams go all the way this year, as we've seen them do in the past. Echo that for Salesian in Division 6 for the North Coast section. We've seen Cardinal Newman tear up the state picture coming out of Division 4 in the NCS. Them and Marin Catholic will be a favorite to do that again. Division three and two are also looking good in the North Coast section. San Ramon Valley is terrifying in Division two. And then in Division three, you've got teams like Windsor and Benicia and El Cerrito with really high upside. So those are some of the teams across the state, not in SoCal, where if they come out of their section, I think they'll have great, like just the perfect angle to make that run go all the way to state in non-Division I settings.
I had a question about Rocklin. So I asked someone up there, I guess if they win their league, they have to play in Division I. So that would pick them up against Folsom. But Lance, I had no idea about that until I asked. So like they are in Division II, but I guess the way that that works is if they win their league, they'll be in Division I. So they'd have to go up against Folsom.
Good thing they're in the Sierra Foothill League, because that means in order to get to the point where they play Folsom in Division I, they'll have to beat Folsom in their own division, in a division that's also stacked with teams like Granite Bay. Whitney is having an up year. Del Oro is having an up year. Realistically, I mean, you know, most people would say it comes down to Folsom and Rocklin. But yeah, that could change things.
Are they in the same league, Folsom and Rocklin?
Yes.
Okay, then yes, they probably won't win, and then your point will be valid. They probably will go on a run. Great. Well, thank you guys for joining me, and thanks to everyone for tuning in. This is the SB Live California podcast. For Lance Smith and Bodie DeSilva, I'm Connor Morissette. We'll see you next time.